Acts chapter 1. For this Christmas season, we've looked at numerous passages in the book of Luke. Earlier on in December, covered the Christmas story according to Dr. Luke. Dr. Luke was used of God to pen the words of the book of Acts as well. And so in the first chapter, we'll begin reading here in verse number 1. Chapter 1 and verse number 1. He's going to reference the Gospel of Luke, which he calls here the former treatise. And so let's begin our reading. The Bible says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." We'll skip down to verse number 7. Verse 7, the Bible says, "And he said unto them," this is Jesus speaking, "and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. The title of today's message is A Season to Press On. A Season to Press On. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to open your word. Thank you that we have your word, that we can study it, that we've been able to freely read it and quote it and post it and share it this Christmas season. Thank you for the many freedoms we have enjoyed this season. Thank you for the celebrations of Jesus' birth. Thank you for the family times and get together with friends and all of these things and the bountiful food that we have enjoyed. Lord, you have been very good to us. But even more than all these things, we thank you for Jesus, who came to be our Savior. Lord, I'm thankful that though Christmas Day is over, the truth of what Christmas means is not over. Lord, I just pray that you'd bless this message, bless the preaching of your word. I yield myself to you. In Jesus' name, amen. A season to press on. As Christmas is over, the day of holiday known as Christmas is over, this end of the year is at hand. We are shocked at the turning of the calendar once again. 2022. We thought we'd never see the day, but here it is. Here it is. The years roll on, and by God's grace, we're still here. We're still here, and we're still able to serve Him in this world with the breath He's given us. And as we think about Christmas, you know, Christmas is the beginning of the story. It's not the end. Christmas is the beginning of God's redemption plan, of God Almighty coming to this earth that He might give His life for us. I like the words of the book of Acts here in verse 1 as Dr. Luke uses his pen as the Holy Spirit guides him. He says, "This is all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which He was taken up." And of course talks here about how He showed Himself alive after His suffering on the cross by many infallible proofs, was seen of His disciples 40 days, and then goes on to give His very words, commanding us, commanding His disciples, His followers, to wait for the Holy Spirit to come, who would enable them to do His will, would enable them to witness to the world and bring many in their local area, many in their province of Judea, many in the neighboring province of Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth to witness for Jesus. He also gives the promise here that He will come again. As these Galilean disciples were gazing up into heaven in astonishment as their Messiah, as the risen Savior ascended back, two angels interrupted their gaze and said, "Why are you standing here? Why are you gazing into heaven? I want to tell you that this same Jesus, not a different Jesus, this same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." Oh, my friend, He is coming again. He is coming again. I can tell you with absolute assurance, this world is not going to continue on and on and on. It has an end. Oh, my friend, yes, we know that our life has an end on this earth. Our life is very fragile. If we get 70 years, if we get 80 years, we're living on borrowed time. You know, really, in the days ahead. But you know, the fact of the matter is, for those of us who know Jesus, when we leave this world, when we leave this body, we go to be with Him. It's a glorious thing. It's a glorious thing. You know, I think about as I've been doing some snow removal around, and sometimes we go by some houses, and my boys maybe will say, you know, where are they? I used to clean their house for maybe a few years, you know, and where are they? Well, with assurance, knowing that several of those individuals, different ones, were believers, I can say with assurance, well, hey, He's in heaven. He doesn't live there anymore. Maybe the house was sold, maybe whatever the case might be, but you know what? He doesn't live there anymore. He's with Jesus. The blessed hope of our future with Jesus, of life eternal with Him in the presence of God. I'll tell you what, as we think about Christmas, it's the beginning of the story. It's the beginning of the story. Our Messiah, our Savior, came in such humility, but my friend, in the second coming, He is coming with authority. He is coming. He is coming to rule and reign in the second coming. But even before the second coming, the Bible teaches the rapture of the church. It's more of a secret coming for His own in the clouds to snatch us away. We'll be caught up together with Him in the clouds, meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're looking for the rapture, the upper taker, not the undertaker. The upper taker, when He comes for His own, for His church, for His bride. Oh, what a glorious time that will be. And then, of course, the Bible reveals that after 7 years, we will return in His second coming, and He will set up His kingdom and reign on this earth for 1,000 literal years. Well, this isn't a prophetic message. It wasn't intended to be that. But this is a season to press on, friends. The point being, Christmas is the start of the story, not the end of the story. And our redemption is laid out here for us, beginning with Christ's coming, beginning with His life on this earth as a man, taking on human flesh so that He might die for us, so that He might save us from our sins. For His name is Jesus, Savior. This is why He came. And I have three points I'd like to impress on you as we press on for the Lord. First of all, I'd like to encourage you to press on rejoicing in God's faithfulness. Rejoicing in God's faithfulness. We can press on because He is faithful. We can rejoice because our God is faithful. This is a season not to throw up our hands in disgust and say, well, the world is so wicked. Oh, well, you just can't live for Jesus in this day. You just can't raise a family for Jesus in this day. No, no, no. You just can't, you can't win anybody to Christ in this day. Nobody wants it. Hey, listen. We must be faithful. We must continue to serve Him. His last command should be our priority. To go into all the world, to preach the gospel to every creature in His power. In His power. He is coming again. There's accountability for us as His servants. Let us rejoice in God's faithfulness. You know, the scripture records in the book of Luke, Mary rejoicing at God's plan being revealed to her. We'll go to Luke chapter 1. I'll just share a few verses. Luke chapter 1. Please notice verse 46. Luke 1 and verse 46, Mary has learned that she is blessed of God as going to be with child, and she's come to visit her cousin Elizabeth, and Elizabeth has rejoiced at Mary's coming to her house, and Mary responds with these words in verse 46, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Down to verse 54, "He hath helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." As He spake to our fathers. As God's words were. As God promised 2,000 years earlier to Abraham. Yes, indeed, Mary praises God. She praises God for His faithfulness to keep His word. For His faithfulness to His people. For His faithfulness in providing the Messiah. I want you to also see Zacharias in Luke chapter 1 here, verse 67. Luke 1 and verse number 67, the Bible says, "And his father," this is of course John's father, "and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited and redeemed His people. He hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform His mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember His holy covenant," to remember His holy covenant, verse 73, "the oath which He sware to our father Abraham." Oh yes, our God is a God of His word. We can rejoice in this day, in all of the turmoil of our world, in all of the restrictions of our world, all the sin of our world. We can rejoice in God's faithfulness. He's still at work. He's still fulfilling His purpose. And I'll tell you what, His plans and purposes in this world are not yet completed. He's got more He is working to do in this world, more to bring His plan to full completion. His promise is faithful. You can trust His word in 2021. You can trust His word in this new year we're embarking on soon. God is faithful to His people. His people, not just Israel, although He is absolutely faithful to His people Israel, keeping His promises, keeping His oath to them. Yes, indeed. But God is faithful to the redeemed of the ages, those by way of extension through the blessing of Abraham, through the Messiah that came through His loins. Yes, to us who are redeemed, even Gentiles. both Jew and Gentile. God is faithful to his people. If you're one of his people, one who has come by faith, we can know God is faithful to us. It doesn't matter the health crisis you face. It doesn't matter the economic disaster you encounter or the weather destruction you endure. I'll tell you what, God will keep his word. God will continue to love his people, continue to keep his promises to his people. And God will continue to be our provision, the provision of our salvation and his daily grace as well. Our God is a faithful God. He's on the move in this world, and we can trust him. And so it is a season to press on, rejoicing in God's faithfulness, rejoicing in God's faithfulness. Oh, there's so much more we could say, but we can trust God in this day. In this modern era, let us continue to trust God. We can joyfully, faithfully serve him. I recall some of the last words that are recorded in the book of Revelation. The last words of Scripture down here in Revelation chapter 22. This is the last chapter of the Word of God, the end of God's holy prophecies. And in this last chapter of the very last book, the last portions of Scripture ever given, we'll begin with verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. Here's John, one of the disciples of Jesus, as an old man banished to the island of Patmos for the testimony of Jesus. And he is receiving these things, and he's received a lot of things. And he is reminded, he is admonished that the things he's received are faithful and true. And it says, continuing in verse 6, it says, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Shortly be done. Now most of what John received in this book of Revelation, most of the things have not yet been done. And it's been nearly 2,000 years. John received this in about AD 96. So it's been 1,900 some years since John received this. And it said there, it shall shortly be done. Shortly. Oh, we must be absolutely close, absolutely near at hand. Our God is at work. And just like most of the world missed Jesus' first coming, most of the world did not even understand when Jesus came, when the shepherds went from that stable that night, and they went out and they told everybody what they had seen, what the angels had said, and the baby they saw in the stable. They reported it joyfully all abroad. Did anybody really notice? Almost no one. Almost no one took note that the Savior, the promised Messiah, was born. In fact, when perhaps a year later, when the wise men came into Jerusalem looking, where is he? Where is he? We saw his star in the east. Where is he? The one who is born King of the Jews. Jerusalem was shaken. The Bible says they were troubled. Herod was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. They didn't realize what was happening. They weren't prepared. They weren't attentive to what God was doing. It took them by surprise. When Jesus started his earthly ministry, for the vast majority of people, it took them by surprise. Who is this? Who do you think you are? Coming in here, teaching this. Coming in here and cleansing the temple. Who do you think you are? By what authority? They said to Jesus. Yes, if we're not careful, we won't realize what he's up to today either. We must walk with him. Let us be faithful. Let us go on rejoicing. It is a season to press on. A season to press on. He says here, we're in Revelation 22 still. In verse 7, he says, "Behold, I come quickly. I." It's personal. The Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "I come quickly." Of course, we know what the two angels said to the Galilean men we read about in Acts. As Jesus ascended up to heaven, the risen Savior, they said, "This same Jesus shall so come." We see again Jesus saying, "I come quickly," here in verse 7. "Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Also down in verse number 11, notice we'll pick it up here. It says this, "And he that is unjust, let him be unjust still." It is giving us an idea of how suddenly the Lord will come. "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." It is talking to us about how suddenly he will come. Once he comes, it will happen so quickly. There will not be the time for the unjust to repent and change his way, for the filthy to get cleansed. There will not be the time. You can see how suddenly he will come. Let us be vigilant, for our Lord, we know not when he shall return. Returning, first of all, in the clouds for his own in the rapture, to catch away his bride. And then, of course, the second coming to rule and reign. But he is coming again, this same Jesus. And so verse 7 says, "I come quickly." Verse 12, once again, very personal, "I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments." Oh, friends, in this season to press on, let us do his commandments. Let's be his faithful servants. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." Oh, what a wonderful thing this is. It says here, looking forward to verse 16, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." How can he be the root of David and the offspring of David? Because he's the God-man. He's the God-man. He created the world. He created David. He created these things. Yes, he is he is God Almighty. He's the root, but he's also the offspring in the incarnation. And he's the bright and morning star. One day, that star will come. The star will dawn. Praise God for that. In verse 20, last two verses of the book, "He which testifieth these things saith again, surely I come quickly." Here's Jesus personally testifying these things and saying, "I come quickly." Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. It is a season to press on. It is a time to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, let's look at the next points. We'll go much quicker here. Let's notice number 2. We need to relinquish hindrances to do the will of God. Relinquish hindrances to do the will of God. What hinders us from doing God's will? It would be best for us to lay those things aside. There's so many things in this world that can weigh us down, that can trip us up, that can derail us from his will. Let's seek his will first and foremost. Joyfully rejoice in his faithfulness and relinquish hindrances to do the will of God. I think of the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews and chapter 12. As we are admonished to look to Jesus in this passage, the author and finisher of our faith, we are told here to run this race in this life. We're to run with patience, with endurance. Notice the scripture, Hebrews 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." I believe it references the hall of faith in the previous chapter and others that have not been named in that chapter. All of those who've gone before us, that's this great cloud of witnesses, those who have served God. And now it's our time. It tells us here in the middle of verse 1, "Let us lay aside every weight." A weight is something that holds us back, holds us down. It says, "And the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." In this life, we must look to Jesus. We must relinquish hindrances. Lay those weights aside. You know, an Olympian has to learn what's essential and what needs to be laid aside. If they are going to run well, if they are going to run well for their country, do their very best, they're going to take care to their diet. They're going to take care to their clothing. They're going to take care to distractions, that they push those things away, that they turn away from those things. They are going to make sure that they have no hindrances to run faithfully for their country. How much more? We run not for a country. We run this race for the Lord God, the King of Kings, our loving Savior. Let us run with patience. Sin obviously hinders us, but the weights are things that aren't sin. Things that aren't sin. They're not wrong in and of themselves, but they hinder us from doing His will. Let us consider, as we embark on a new year, how can I more faithfully serve God? And then verse 2 tells us to look to Jesus. This is essential. The Christian life isn't about gritting our teeth and trying to do it in our own strength. It's about resting in Jesus and doing His will. Let's notice the last point this morning. Number 3, reaffirm commitment to follow Jesus. Reaffirm commitment to follow Jesus. You know, even in our world, which is growing more hostile to Christianity, there's still a whole lot of people who like to be called a Christian. They profess Christianity, but very few want to be a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. This is what we need to reaffirm in our lives, our commitment to follow Christ in this coming year, to follow Him above all else, to do His will. In Mark chapter 8, verse 34, the Lord tells us to take up our cross. "He who will come after me, let him deny himself," Jesus said, "and take up his cross and follow me." Mark 8, 34. Are you committed to following Jesus? We cannot have a ho-hum approach to Christianity. We need to have a reaffirmed commitment. I'm going to do the will of God. What is your will for my life, Lord? I'm going to be faithful to you. I know you're coming soon. I am looking for the glorious appearing and the of a great God and our Savior, as Titus says. And I will be faithful to your will. Christmas is not the end, it's the beginning. It is a season to press on. Will you press on, rejoicing in God's faithfulness, relinquishing hindrances, and reaffirming commitment to follow Jesus? Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful. Thankful for your word. Thankful for all that you have in store for us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to rejoice as we move forward, trusting you. Help us to see areas that hinder what you want to do in our life and through us. And help us to reaffirm that commitment of doing the will of God. Lord, I thank you for this. We love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.